Speaking of cool collectible things, we're going to be taking a trip to Hard Rock International, and you got to remember, Hard Rock International is truly international. We're talking 69 countries, over 240 venues, and we're going to tie up with the guy that basically makes them so cool by putting all the collectibles in. The new one is coming next month, just a couple of weeks from now, in Gary, Indiana, on Burr Street. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how cool it is and where all this stuff comes from that we see. But since we're talking about a Gary location, let's start this segue off with one of Gary's famous sons. This is, or sons, plural. This is the Jackson 5. We got Giovanni Taliaferro coming up right after this. It's what we all start learning with, and we're going to learn a lot today about Hard Rock Casino, Hard Rock Cafe, and the new one that is being launched in just a couple of weeks, just down the road from where I'm sitting now. I'm very excited. Burr Street, not far from where I live, not far from where we broadcast from, and Gary, Indiana, the newest Hard Rock Casino. Hard Rock, Northern Indiana. What a great moment. And with us is a gentleman who is responsible for doing so much with them. He's the guy that gets everything together that we go to see in these wonderful facilities. If you're not there just to game or to check out some entertainment, you go to look and oogle at all these cool things in glass boxes and glass cases. And for those of you that know me, I am a memorabilia nut. And I collect a lot of stuff, and my collection I always thought was pretty cool until I went into my first Hard Rock Cafe, and then I left with my head hanging down. And I blame Giovanni Taliaferro for that, because he is the director of memorabilia design for all of the Hard Rock Internationals. Giovanni is my guest. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I've got to say, we're all very, very excited about the launch of this new Hard Rock Casino. Now, this one is replacing the one that was at the Feathers, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That was a nice one, too. Are you going to be bringing that stuff over here? Or are you putting it back in the vault and recreating a whole new exhibit? What's the plan here?
Everything that's going to be coming to Hard Rock Northern Indiana is hand-selected and curated specifically for Northern Indiana. So there's a reason behind every artifact that's getting placed there, and so it'll all be fresh.
Okay. Now, I was wondering, when you do the planning of what goes into which location, does geographic locations have a lot to do with it? For instance, the Jacksons, who we just played, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of Jacksons memorabilia in Gary, but if the one in Seattle, is it heavily with grunge? Is Chicago's getting more and more blues? What does the geographic location mean to you when you're placing artifacts?
It has a very big part. It's a very big part of that calculation. We want to make certain that every property has relevance to the local market, and especially when you're talking about music scenes like in Seattle, Chicago that you mentioned, Memphis. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's very easy to do that. You can kind of tie in hypothetically. If you're in Memphis, you can talk about Stax. You can talk about Sun, the studios. You can talk about a wide variety of things. Other locations when we're around the world, for example, say Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, it's a lot more difficult. However, we still, through a lot of deep research, we find ways to still tie it into that local market and make certain that it's relevant.
Okay. With this this new one that's coming around, it's opening up, I believe, May 14th, is that correct, to the public?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. With this, how long did it take you personally with your team to archive and curate this? And when you're setting stuff up, what's the mind's eye that you're seeing? What are you looking at the empty room and saying, well, this would go here, this could go there? It's not as simple as people might think, where you just say, oh, there's an open space, we'll stick something there. How do you envision it and bring it to fruition?
Yeah, it starts well in advance. We're knee deep into the architecture, the interior design, right from the beginning. So it's all a collaboration effort between multiple trades, multiple expertises to make certain that memorabilia is a strong presence within the entire space. We want to make certain that, we're identifying the opportunities for appropriate displays early on. So therefore, everyone's working together to, create the shop drawings, planning the lighting, planning the finishes, all encompassing, mm-hmm. So it's a very detailed and intense process. And that's when we start looking into our database of over 86,000 pieces and wow. Seeing, okay, what's available immediately that we can start pulling aside for this project. And as we start collecting the pieces, then we start working on the composition, the colors, and as well as diving into the storytelling phase.
Wow, 86,000 pieces at your disposal. My mind just exploded. Where does this come from? How do you acquire these artifacts that eventually make their way to us in the different Hard Rock locations?
We have a wide variety of ways that we acquire memorabilia, one of which is just direct donations. We have such a great rapport with artists, all over the world, that they entrust us to, present their artifacts, present their stories in a positive light. They know that we're not going to turn around and sell the item. They know that we're here to showcase it in a memorabilia museum type of experience,
mm-hmm.
and for all of the guests to enjoy. They know we're going to create these storylines and just like you mentioned, if guests are coming in, maybe they necessarily are just finishing up a meal at one of our food and beverage outlets, and they want to look around and see the memorabilia, that's a big part of what makes Hard Rock Hard Rock. It is the memorabilia.
Well, I know when I travel, if there's a Hard Rock in the city, we make a point to go. And the food is excellent. Nothing about the food that I can say bad. But the reason I go is to see the displays. As a rock guy, as a radio guy, I want to see what you've come up with and created. And an interesting, I was sharing it with Pat, the publicist, about 25 years ago, I was in Orlando at the Hard Rock. I walked in, and one of the first things I saw was a Cheap Trick at the Hammond Civic Center concert poster that I actually had a hand in silk screening and creating. And
it blew my mind.
I'm like, oh, my God, here's a piece I did in Indiana hanging in Orlando right outside of Disney. And I went back a few years later, and it was gone. And I'm like, ah, it just broke my heart. I thought, I'm immortalized. So how often do you rotate stuff in and out?
We do have a rotation program because we want to make certain that pieces are still fresh. Now, by rotation program, I'm not saying like with every 6 months or every year, but typically it's around every 7 to 10 years there's a full rotation, meaning the entire space is you know, the pieces will come out, new pieces will go in. There may be some things that are a little bit more frequent in other areas that may be a little bit longer, but that's the general time frame. But every project's different. You know, it all depends on that particular project.
And you have special exhibits too, don't you, from time to time, where if the venue is large enough, you'll do like a special exhibit for a year of so-and-so's memorabilia?
Yeah, sometimes. It all depends on the opportunities that present itself, the space in itself to be able to house a special exhibit such as that. But typically it's more limited because you know we do have such a vast, as you mentioned, vast amount of pieces in our collection that you know we typically help other entities by loaning out our pieces to them, you know, so that they can help with their special exhibits. You know, we had a piece on display over at the Met. We had, you know, we're tying up a very important relationship with a museum coming up pretty soon. That's going to be a great exhibit. We've done some stuff with the U.S. Department of State. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've really helped and engaged and collaborated with many museums, you know, all over the world, and to be able to provide special exhibits there.
Okay. Are the artists or their estates generally involved in any of this? Do you come across the widow of a rock star and says, you know, I want to do something with my husband's stuff. If I give it to you either on a permanent loan or donate it with the clause saying it can't be sold, it's only for, you know, to keep his legacy alive. Do you get a lot of that?
We do. We get a lot of, you know, and I'll go back to the initial acquisition question as well. You know, donations is a big, big part of how we acquire memorabilia. And, you know, they'll come to us and they'll just that. They'll say, we entrust you to preserve so-and-so's legacy if it's, you know, from the estate. You know, because they know that we're going to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we're doing it to honor their legacies, their stories, their music, you know, because these are pieces of history. It's not that it's just decoration. You know,
right.
We truly are passionate about all of our artifacts. We're truly passionate about all of the artists, and we want to make certain that we tell their stories in the right way.
Go ahead.
And continuing on about acquisitions, others, you know, is also sometimes we'll acquire from auction houses. You know, sometimes fans will come to us, say, hey, you know, we got this, you know, would you be interested? And they'll donate, you know, the item to the collection. But it doesn't matter, and this is what's really important, is that it doesn't matter if it comes from the artist or a fan or an auction house. We still go through the same channels of researching provenance and making certain that they provide letters of authenticity and you know, everything is verified, because we take, you know, we pride ourselves on the authenticity of our collection.
Right. I was going to say that's got to be a process in itself, because it takes a while to, especially if it's an autographed item, to determine the authenticity of it.
Exactly. You know, so we have a lot of documentation for, you know, all of our pieces. So it's a big part of that process.
Now, I keep hearing all about this Hard Rock vault. Do you have like a Fort Knox somewhere that's hidden with all these wonderful treasures? And if so, can you tell me where it's at? And is it ever open to the public to wander through?
Yes, it's where my office is. It's in the deep swamps of southern Florida.
Guarded by crocs.
Yeah, guarded by the gators.
Wow, amazing. You're in Florida today, but where are you originally from? Just curious how you came into this, Giovanni.
Sure, I'm originally from outside D.C. in a small town called Winchester, Virginia, the birthplace of Patsy Cline. My grandfather actually used to perform with her growing up, and she introduced my grandparents. So,
wow,
you know, music was always really important to my family.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, how does one come to a job as unique as yours? I'm a history major. I'm a music freak. I collect stuff. You have the ultimate job. I would kill to have a job like yours. How did you get this? And how did you work your way into it? And was this something you always wanted to do? Were you just focused on history, on music, and it just came together? I'm just curious on how a guy out of Washington winds up curating the coolest collection on earth.
Luck is a big part of it.
Okay.
I am very blessed. You know, I love my job. I love the brand. Everything about it is just amazing, and I pinch myself every day for certain. I've been with the company for now 18 plus years. It'll be 19 years in November, and really, it was just a happy accident. I moved to Southern Florida, or actually, I should say Central Florida, to work with Disney, and it was short lived because the animation studio closed down, and so unfortunately I wasn't able to proceed on that front. So I was just looking around for a job, and I noticed an ad in the paper for a memorabilia museum by Hard Rock called the Hard Rock Vault, and it was opening up in that year in Orlando, Florida on International Drive. So I just applied and became a tour guide there, memorabilia tour guide. My degrees are actually in pre-press design and studio art, and you know, I've always had that passion for music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was while there just as a tour guide at the Hard Rock Vault is what really started building up further that passion about music, and I was just researching all the artists, trying to find anything, any connections I could between each one, and, you know, just 18 and a half years later, here I am.
Wow. When you first started at the Hard Rock, how long of a climb until they basically made you in charge of the team?
Let's see. It was pretty long.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think. You know, 18 years is pretty pretty hard to think about in a small section of time. Let's see here. So I was with the Vault for about 2 years, and then I became a designer, and I was a designer for maybe about 12 years or so.
Okay.
And then became a design manager, and then I became the director, I want to say about 3 years ago. Two and a half years ago or so.
We're going to find out a little bit more about what to expect when the doors open on the Hard Rock Casino on May 14th in just a moment with Director of Memorabilia Design, Giovanni Talafaro. But right now, let's take it back to the Jackson 5's third album and a song that seems very appropriate for this, Going Back to Indiana. We'll talk about the Indiana Hard Rock after this. Going back to Indiana. The Hard Rock Casino, Northwest Indiana, opening in about 3 weeks here at 54 West 29th Avenue in Gary, just off of Burr Street. And it's been the talk of the town, a lot of buzz going on about this. And my guest is the guy that's going to be putting all the coolness into it, Giovanni Taliaferro, Director of Memorabilia Design. And that said, we were talking earlier, Giovanni, about how geography plays an important part in your design. What, besides the Jacksons, are we going to have representing Indiana? I mean, we got so much talent that came out of here. The Spaniels, Oscar and the Majestics, the Enchanters, Baby Huey. Of course, Chess Records was inspired in many ways by VJ Records, which was right here in Gary. So how much Indiana representation have you in your 89,000 pieces of memorabilia? I expect you to recall it all right now.
Well, I will say this, that this project really opened up a lot of doors for artists local to the area, and that really want to participate. And as I was talking about donations earlier, I think this project, we received more donations for one single project than we have over the last, I want to say, 3 years.
Wow.
For one single project, yeah. So... You know, yes, there's a very large Jackson representation. You know, we've been working with the brothers, and, you know, I flew out to L.A. 2 weeks ago, and I picked up a guitar from Tito. And it's not just any guitar. It is the guitar that belonged to his father, Joseph. It is the guitar that Tito broke the string when he was trying to teach himself to learn how to play, you know, while Joseph was working in the steel mills.
Mm-hmm.
It is the guitar that, in that single moment, is really what gave birth to the Jackson 5 and the entire legacy of the entire family. I mean, think about the success of that family.
Right.
You know, every single member, every single sibling, all nine of them, they've all charted on the Billboard hits. They, you know, over 500 million album sales worldwide combined. You know, it's just immense. I mean, they are the royal family of music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there is a very strong representation of the Jacksons that will be on display in Hard Rock Northern Indiana. But also from Gary, you have, you know, you have Jimmy Reed. We're going to have his guitar there. We're going to have a little storyline about VJ Records. You know, the Beatles, their very first U.S. release was on VJ.
Right. As was the Four Seasons.
Yeah, as was the Four Seasons, that's correct. And so part of that storyline, we're going to have a couple things. One, we're going to have the Beatles LP from VJ. We're going to have the Beatles Grammy Award from 1964 when they won Best New Artist. So that all ties together.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to have, and this is really, really cool, it's George Harrison's travel itinerary binder. From that tour. And in part of it is a flight map, you know, that has all the arrows drawn in about where I'm flying and where and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so I have it opened up and it's going to be on display to right when they land in Chicago. And you can see Gary on the map there. I mean, it's such a really cool, and it's a small little piece of it, but it's just a very cool piece to have on display. But also, you know, other acts from Gary, Indiana, you know, Big Daddy Kinsey. You know, we got a harmonica of his donated from his sons, you know, so, you know, worked closely with Ken and Donald Kinsey on that piece. And, of course, Donald, you know,
with the Wailers,
with Albert King and the Wailers,
right.
And Peter Tosh, and Ken has performed with Albert Collins. I mean, you know, so a very talented, talented family. Crystal Taliaferro. You know, no relation.
Right. Out of Hammond, Indiana, played with Mellencamp and Seeger and Billy Joel. She used to play at a club I used to book back with her band. When she, I think she was based out of Bloomington with her band at the time. And, yeah, what a talented young lady she is.
Yeah, extremely. I mean, Rolling Stone magazine, I think, published an article calling her rock music's biggest secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so she donated some items as well. And she's been very passionate about this project. Kim Mazzell, First Lady of House. You know, she donated an outfit as well, and one of her original Gary Eyed Awards that she was presented years ago. And, you know, so another Gary icon there. And then, of course, you have Denise Williams, who right. donated the dress that she wore in the Let's Hear It for the Boy music video. So just that right there, I mean, just think about how many artists from one location, from Gary, Indiana, that are very passionate and donated their items to be on display here at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. So it's something I'm extremely, extremely proud of.
How many total artifacts are you expecting by grand opening? And obviously it's a work in progress. You'll be adding for the next several months, I'm imagining, as things develop.
So I would anticipate, it's not going to be an exact number because we don't really know for certain. Because we plan for a little bit more because of space constraints and, you know, you need some flexibility. But I would plan plus or minus 200 pieces in total.
Okay. How big is this this facility compared to, say, the one in Orlando or the one that was at in South Bend that this is replacing, or Chicago? Are they generally approximately the same sizes?
No, every project's different. You know, Orlando is a cafe. I believe it's the largest cafe that we have in our system, and but this is a casino project. So, but also included inside the casino project is a Hard Rock Cafe. There's also a Hard Rock Live entertainment venue. There's a number of other outlets as well, like Council Oak Steaks and Seafood. There's a UU noodle restaurant. There's Fresh Harvest. There's the Constant Grind. So this one, the space is significantly bigger from, you know, than Orlando. However, I think it probably compares closer to what we did in Sacramento. It's kind of hard to really compare apples to apples. Every project is unique.
Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of music connection here in Gary, as you've just discussed. Mm-hmm. But what was it about Gary that made corporate sit down and say, this is a place we want to put a Hard Rock? It just doesn't seem maybe the first place that the dart would hit on the map in creative thinking. What was it about Gary that made you guys say, this is the place?
Well, I can't speak for the executive team. That's above my pay grade.
Okay.
But what I can say, I can see why, just simply because of the music history. I mean, you know, we like being in markets that have strong music relationships. You know, for example, we just announced, a casino development in Bristol, Virginia. And Bristol, Virginia is the birthplace of country music. And so, you know, it's not a big city or anything of that nature. It's just, you know, part of it is the opportunity presented itself, and there's a strong musical relationship there. Now, again, I cannot speak to the executive team. They are the individuals that analyze all opportunities that do present itself, and I think it's a great decision to put one in Gary, Indiana, because I think it's going to do some amazing things for the community in itself.
Definitely. A lot of employment and certainly bringing a lot of tourism here. And it's been a long time coming, given that Michael and the Jackson 5 are from here, that we have marketed it and made our own little version of Graceland, if you will, or something, to bring people here and honor their musical legacy. You, with your team, and correct me if I'm wrong, are basically, you're over all 240 locations. I mean, you fly all over and help it design all these different ones. Which is your favorite? Is there a handful of favorites right now?
Ooh, that's a really difficult question. Yes. My team, we handle all 240 locations worldwide. I've been all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. I've experienced many different cultures, and it's definitely one amazing thing. You know, in terms of favorite locations that I've been, you know, I think in terms of the facility in itself and the design put together, you know, there's some that stand out. I was extremely proud of what we did in Seattle. You mentioned Seattle earlier. I was extremely proud of what we did in Atlantic City. You know, we did a huge tribute to New Jersey artists in there. London, Piccadilly, Barcelona, I mentioned Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I mean, every single piece is a prize to itself. Every location, and so I'm extremely proud. But I will say this: is that this project really is something that hits home for me. I grew up a huge, huge Jackson 5 fan. I was practicing the moves and especially when, Beat It came on, MTV, I was practicing the dance moves. I had two of those Beat It jackets. I had a red one and I had a black one. And the fact that we have the real jacket from the Beat It video and I am putting it there in Gary, Indiana, in wow. Michael Jackson's hometown, that to me is special. And I never for a million years, you mentioned about, our own little Graceland type of thing. I never for a million years guessed that I would be able to stand outside the home on 2300 Jackson Street.
Right.
And the fact that Marlon gave me a personal tour inside the house, oh, man, that just really hit home. And seeing how small that house is, it's two bedrooms, one bathroom. It's like 674 square feet. And seeing, where they all slept, and where the couch was, and all the little stories that he was telling me. I mean, it really hit home. And so this project I'm extremely, extremely passionate about.
How far away from the actual home on Jackson Street is the Hard Rock that's going to be opening?
I don't know. That's a really good question. It's probably about maybe 4 miles or so. I think it was maybe like a 10, 15-minute drive.
Okay. I mean, that might be something the Hard Rock could consider doing little bus tours or something because, it'd be if people come out here to see the house or to see the casino, they're going to want to see both. It's like when you go to a music mecca, you want to catch all the artifacts you can. And I would think that would be a really good partnership between whoever has the house now, which I think is the city, but I'm not sure. That would be a nice tie-in.
Still do. Yep.
All right. Let's.
Yeah, the Jacksons still own it.
Oh, the Jacksons still own it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about the music that's going to be presented there. You said you're going to have a Hard Rock Lounge in there. Mm-hmm. How big of a lounge is it, stage-wise, things like that? And do you know anything about that yet? I know that's not really your wheelhouse with the company, but do you know when we're going to start seeing live entertainment in there? And what kind?
Hard Rock Live, it's a 200,000 square foot entertainment complex. That's the entire facility.
Okay.
The Hard Rock Live, I'm trying to think about how many square foot that is. I don't recall that. But I know that it's supposed to seat just shy of 2,000 when set up as a concert venue. Now, in terms of when live entertainment, live concerts in that arena will be able to be start, hopefully, but it all depends on everything going on with the pandemic and safe and sound protocols and things of that nature.
Right.
We are really invested in terms of providing all of our guests a very very safe and sound experience. We've come out with protocols to accommodate that, to make sure we are on top of things when it comes to that portion. So in terms of live entertainment, that I don't have an answer for that question, but
okay.
Hopefully in not too long in the future.
Is the hotel going to be open soon?
The hotel would be part of a phase two of the project.
Okay.
And what's in plan is a 200-room hotel with a multi-level parking garage.
I've got to ask you, as someone who invested so much time and energy and effort into making this particular Gary location a reality, what was your feelings on April 8th when the president flipped the switch and that giant guitar marquee lit up?
Oh, man. For me, it was huge. And there's another part of that piece that's also included in this. Is that guitar is modeled after the 1961 Airline Town and Country guitar that belonged to Joseph Jackson.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that's actually modeled after the real one that you'll see inside.
Exactly. So that's why it's really important for me, because it was really a couple weeks ago that we officially, you know, were able to get it from Tito, pick it up, and you know, in LA, and I literally flew it directly to Gary right for that event. So, you know, we were hopeful, and again, the entire family have been fantastic throughout all of this, and we're honored that they entrust us with, you know, being able to showcase that guitar. Inside, there's another guitar as well. There's a guitar chandelier that I designed with significant references to the career of the Jacksons, and it's all outlined with that shape of that same guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a lot of symbolism within the chandelier design in itself that relates to the family and to the history. Instead of six strings like a standard guitar, this one has five strings representing the five
broken
brothers.
One. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then one of them does vibrate, and it appears almost like a sound wave and doesn't connect on the end, and that one's to represent the broken string.
Okay.
And the tuning pegs all have the initials of the five brothers from the original Jackson 5, and the one that connects to the broken string is Tito's tuning peg. They're all in sequential order of the stage lineup, so it's Tito, Marlon, Jackie, Michael, Jermaine. Then there's wedges of glass and crystal that, you know, of different colors, but it's all designed to reference the stage backdrop from the Ed Sullivan Show debut performance in 64, not 64, that was Peter, but, you know, during that debut performance in 69, mm-hmm. Thank you, sorry. And, you know, so it's, there. And then there's crystal to represent the glove, and which we will have a glove on display there. You know, some light up tiles, and then there's a cascading Jackson's logo that sits right above a key centralized display case featuring their outfits and that guitar. So it's, you know, that guitar is very, very much a big part of the whole storyline of this project. And so, you know, we were able to get it pretty close to the last minute, you know, in hand. It would have been amazing even without the guitar, but the fact that we actually have the guitar, it puts me at a loss for words.
Wow. It's interesting the way you said you designed the chandelier, so your art majors and degrees are coming into effect yet again, along with your love of music.
Like I mentioned, we are knee-deep into the entire process. It's not just that we pick, okay, here's a guitar, let's put it on the wall. We are integral into the entire interior design, into the signage, into the architecture, into, you know, the finishes. So we're part of that process right from the beginning. And you know, that's why in a lot of these facilities, these displays are built in, and it's a part of that architecture. It's not just, you know, a blank wall that we stick stuff up on top of. Mm-hmm. Now, there's main various types of displays, like wall mounted versus millwork, meaning that's a hard structure built into the facility where we place a piece inside it, and then wall mounted is where it's framed up and then we directly apply it to the wall. But yeah, it's a very, very deep process that starts, you know, right from the kickoff of the project.
Now, with 69 countries, 240 locations, how big is your team? I mean, obviously, you're not handling all this with a string team of three people. How big of a group are you in charge of that makes all this happen?
Well, we have right now we have two other designers.
Okay.
And then we have some installation technicians. My colleague, Chase McHugh, he is the director of memorabilia, so between he and I, we handle it all, and then we have a database manager, and that's pretty much it. Right now,
wow.
We're about six, seven people.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you ever sleep?
Some.
Well, you're opening on May 14th. Again, folks, we're talking about the Hard Rock Casino, Northwest Indiana, or Northern Indiana, at 54 West 29th Avenue in Gary. And it's right off 8094 on the Burr Street interchange there. So it's easy access from just about anywhere in the Midwest, Great Lakes area. And it opens up on Friday, May 14th. Interesting, it opens at 5 p.m., as opposed to a daytime opening. Is that because it's the casino primarily that's opening?
I am not privy to that information in terms of why and what timing and whatnot, but
okay.
I'm just excited for it to happen.
Awesome.
I will be there. I'm going to be back up there on Sunday night.
Now, I'm going to be part of something that's happening on Thursday, the 29th, with Alex Foster. He's coming in. He's doing some kind of film. What is the film all about? Is that going to be part of an exhibit? Is that just a promotional tool? What exactly is that that's being done? Don't give away anything you're not supposed to, but I'm just curious about it.
So we've been doing a lot of filming around you know, this project and other things in general about the memorabilia, about the, you know, selecting the items. And they were with me in L.A. when we met with Tito. And so it's going to be a really interesting storytelling piece, a little bit about, you know, the project in itself.
Okay. Interesting. Now, one piece of history I do want to double check with here, and that is, as I understand it, and this was before your time with them, but Hard Rock started with a single guitar donated by Eric Clapton. Is that correct?
That is correct. So what happened, and that's, again, it's all about donations. That's a big part of it, is in 1971, Hard Rock Cafe was founded. So 50 years ago, this year, was founded in London by Isaac T. Gritt and Peter Morton. And at that time, the entire interiors, the decoration was all Americana, like a 50s diner. You had the checkerboard tablecloths. You had 10 toy cars. You had collegiate pennants. You had some posters and things like that. So you had little statues of the Statue of Liberty. So it wasn't memorabilia. That wasn't a part of it.
Okay.
But it was a huge, huge deal in London, and everyone was visiting. I mean, lines out the doors all the time, and especially within the industry. And one day, Eric Clapton had a guitar in his hand saying, "Hey, can I mark my seat?" And so he handed Isaac the guitar, and he's like, "Sure." So we put it straight on the wall. 1 week later, another guitar came via courier and said, with a little note. Says, "Well, mine's better than his. Love, Pete." And that was from Pete Townsend of The Who. And so that was number two. And then that's what started what is now the largest collection of music and entertainment memorabilia in the world.
Wow. One upsmanship from everybody.
Yep,
there you go.
Exactly.
Do you still have that first Clapton guitar on display somewhere?
We do. It's still that one, and Pete's are both still in London.
Wow. What is the scene with you were talking about, you know, some Mongolia, for instance. What is the rock and roll scene like in some of these countries? You don't think, you know, 69 countries would be embracing this music that, you know, obviously kickstarted here in America, went to England, got sold back to us, and now it's worldwide everywhere. But I wouldn't think there'd be that much of a popularity in certain countries.
There is, and every project, no matter where it is around the world, you know, one part of that research is that we also ask of that local team, you know, who do they want within their space, but we do a lot of research, demographic research. We look at streaming statistics. We look at, you know, a wide range, who's recorded there, who's maybe traveled there, who's performed there, and, you know, so that's how we find that local relevancy. And then, and as well as the whole wish list, and you know, and it's amazing to see, no matter where you are around the world, the similarities between these wish lists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in South America, whether it's in Africa, you know, it's amazing the similarities between all of these wish lists. You know, a lot of the same artists appear on each one.
Wow. Who is the single most popular artist, if there is one? Would it be the Beatles, Dylan, Prince, Michael? Who would you say are the top three of interest from your clientele?
Oh, wow, that's a really deep question. I don't know the answer to that, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
This is why I love memorabilia, because like any art medium, it's very, very subjective. So to you, a certain piece may speak volumes to you. Like you mentioned going to Orlando and the poster and how that truly related to your own history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, like I mentioned, it was the Beat It jacket. When I saw that Beat It jacket for the first time, I remembered standing in front of the TV practicing the dances. When I saw we have the original handwritten lyrics to Imagine, and those are over in Atlantic City. And that brought me back to a time when my mother would put me on her bed and play Imagine while she's cleaning up her room. I mean, that's the first song I ever remember. So these artifacts, they have this power behind them to transport the guests to that time and place that the artifacts and the artists and the songs speak to them. And that's what's magical about it. It truly is magic. And wow. And so that's why we want to make certain within the four walls that we're having artists that resonate to a wide range of people, and that there's a connection between all of them. And it might not be public knowledge, but how do they relate? And that's part of that key research component that we take on. You know, in Northern Indiana, yes, we're going to have the Jackson, but we're also going to have Camila Cabello. We're going to have Pharrell. We're going to have Tupac. We're going to have Kiss. We're going to have REO Speedwagon. We're going to have Styx. We're going to have Cheap Trick. We're going to have, I mean, the list, the Aerosmith, we're going to have Slash. We're going to have Van Halen. We're going to have Guns N' Roses. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And, you know, so therefore, there's going to be a piece that no matter who goes in there, they will relate to something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. You know, okay. Whether it's Lady Gaga's Thriller jacket that we'll have there, you know, it's great. And again, it's all about that tie-in. We have a Thriller jacket that was worn by Madonna, by Lady Gaga. And then we also have a white version of the Thriller jacket that was worn by Justin Timberlake. You know, so there's these little nuances and tie-ins that go back again that ties into the Jackson family or to Gary in itself.
And let's not forget Weird Al.
Yeah, Weird Al. Oh man, I love Weird Al. I love Weird Al. And my son is a big fan of his as well. And you know, he's six now and he's already singing, you know, like Eat It and stuff like that. It's great. But yeah, I mean, for certain, there's these relationships. Like, you know, for example, Billie Eilish, we'll have her on display. And, you know, she recorded Bad. You know, we have, you know, Ed Sheeran there, Eminem, Bob Dylan. You know, we'll have a section just to talk about We Are the World. You know, it's amazing how interconnected the entire industry is.
True. Is there anything we haven't touched on? We got about 4 minutes left that we haven't talked about that you would like to let people know.
Well, I think, you know, I just want everyone to know that, you know, this memorabilia display is probably the most locally relevant display that we've done in any property.
Okay.
It's, you know, with the amount of donations and the engagement from the artists from the area, you know, it's amazing to see how engaged they were because they are passionate about Gary. They are passionate about their hometown, and which that's a special thing to me. You know, I grew up in a hometown. I understand that whole I grew up in a small town. And so I understand that small town life, a small town feel where everyone tends to know each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, seeing how passionate everyone is about Gary, Indiana, you know, I just think it speaks volumes. And I'm so excited for this space to open. I can't wait to see people's faces when they walk in for the first time. And you know, it's going to have a lot of great artifacts from Gary artists, from Indiana artists that I didn't mention, you know, we would, you know, including Mellencamp and, you know, Blind Melon and others, or Shannon Hoon, I should say.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I just can't wait. I'm really, really excited.
All right. Well, I will see you on Thursday, and we'll talk some more then. I guess I'm taking the Hard Hat tour as well Wednesday. So,
yep, Wednesday. I'll see you Wednesday then.
Should be fun. I appreciate your time, Giovanni.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And to say thank you, we're going to play your favorite song, Beat It, for Michael. So get your jacket
all right,
on.
All right.
Here we go.
It's all already right. packed. I can't. It's already in route.
Okay. Hard Rock Casino, northernindiana.com. Hard Rock Casino, northernindiana.com is where you need to go. And again, watch for the big opening on Friday, May 14th. Let's take it out with some Michael.